Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, the Garda watchdog has released its first report examining incidents involving contact with Gardaí where a member of the public has been seriously injured or has died. FISRU, the oversight organisation, which you'll remember replaced GSOC, said today that 21 people died and 21 people were seriously injured in incidents involving or following contact with Gardaí in 2024. To discuss the report, I'm joined on the line by Police Ombudsman Emily Logan. Good evening to you, Emily.
Good evening, Colm.
Can you just talk us through that issue of involving or following contact with Gardaí? What does that mean?
I can, of course. By law, the Garda Commission refers cases of death and serious harm where a person has been in contact with Gardaí. The purpose of that referral is for our organisation, FISRU, to independently investigate the incident. So they're categorised in four categories based on international best practice. If I give you an example of one relating to Garda custody, we had 8 referrals where harm happened to somebody who was in Garda custody or following Garda custody. So in that context, 5 people died, 3 people were injured. So many of the things that happen and the majority of cases that come to us indicate that there was either some underlying condition or something happened prior to the person being in custody. So for instance, for the 5 people that died, one person died of alcohol intoxication, one person died in hospital with an unrelated illness, one person died from an injury sustained days before any Garda contact at all, one person was fatally stabbed following release from Garda custody, and another person died of an accidental overdose having ingested fatal amounts of a drug. So the purpose, just to give you an idea, that what happens is out of the 37 referrals, at a very early stage, we interact with the state chief state pathologist's office, with the coroner. We're looking at medical evidence, toxicology, pathology. So they're in 40% of those cases. It's very clear that they can be discontinued because there actually is no reference to any Garda act or omission that needs an answer. In 60% that are investigated, we either look at a disciplinary investigation, and the outcome of that would be either making a recommendation to the Garda Commissioner for disciplinary proceedings, or we may discontinue if we don't find any evidence or facts that would support the concern. And then separately, there are criminal investigations. And if any act or omission by a guard may constitute, threshold is quite low, may constitute a criminal offence, those cases are referred to the Office of the DPP.
Okay, and were there any of those in the period that this report covers?
That this report covers, there were 2 referrals to the Office of the DPP. Of course, it's not appropriate for me to comment on any of those. It's more to assure people that the purpose of FISRU as an independent oversight body is to ensure that when these incidents happen, that there's an organisation that undertakes completely independently of the Gardaí, undertakes an investigation and looks very, very carefully and robustly at the incident that happened.
Incidents involving traffic accidents, how many of them were there?
There were 13 referrals. And the referrals can obviously affect more than one person. But in those cases, we had 3 people who died and 15 people that were injured. I suppose the most notable thing about the road traffic incidents were that 6 of those people were under, the people who were injured were under 25. And that wouldn't be a surprise to people in terms of road accidents.
And is it within your remit in this report to recommend changes in protocol with regard to, say, the handling of people in custody or with regard to Garda pursuits or handling of traffic incidents? Is that part of it or is it simply a look back at what happened?
The report is a look back on last year, but you're speaking now to we're working to a piece of new legislation and we have new powers to look at any policy, practice or procedure in the course of an investigation. If anything emerges where it requires the attention of the Garda Commissioner, I would make a recommendation to the Garda Commissioner. Obviously, it's the prerogative of the Garda Commissioner who makes a determination of control and direction of the Gardaí, but we can make recommendations. And that is a new power under the new legislation. The other thing that was extraordinarily concerning was the number of cases where there were either attempted apparent suicide. So we 10 referrals where there were 9 people who died by suicide and 1 attempted suicide in custody. But in fact, the Gardaí intervened in the case in custody and the person thankfully survived. But what is worrying about that is that there are nine people, nine of those 10 people had a known mental health diagnosis, things like depression, psychosis, bipolar disorder, history of suicide ideation. So it was very clear from the report that vulnerabilities and people who are at risk were central features of many of the incidents, which means we're asking our Gardaí to provide a first line service for many people who are vulnerable or in crisis. And I suppose the question at the end of the report that I raised was whether An Garda Síochána is the most appropriate public service response and in all circumstances for people who are vulnerable.
Did you hazard an answer to that? Because I know in the past when it came to child protection concerns, there was some discussion about multidisciplinary teams involving TUSLA and Gardaí. Would you be looking at potentially mental health professionals working in areas or being accessible to Garda stations?
Absolutely. I mean, there's a very good pilot project going on in Limerick in Henry Street called the CAS Project, where both healthcare professionals and Gardaí work together. And internationally, this is common practice that the police in any jurisdiction would have support staff, kind of wraparound service available to them, people with social care background, people with a nursing background, people with medical background, who would be able to support the individuals, support the Gardaí, but essentially this is about the individuals who themselves are vulnerable or at risk for reasons of, in particular, of having mental health difficulties.
I mean, in the course of your investigations, you obviously have to gather evidence, and there was a public consultation launched by Gardaí on the use of body cams today. Does FISRU have any involvement in supervision of that, making recommendations on it, or do you think it would be helpful to your work?
Well, the Garda Commission, I've already been contacted by An Garda Síochána in relation to the legislation you're referring to as the Recording Devices Act. So we do, I mean, it's a very early stage yet because the pilot project only exists in limited circumstances in location of Waterford, Dublin and Limerick. But we have, as a response to this, we ourselves have developed a digital forensics unit where we have staff who have technical expertise in digital and forensic evidence. And we also have staff who've already used body-worn cameras in other jurisdictions. So it will be relevant. It's early to give you an answer on that. But to say to you that we are looking at that, we will be looking at it. It's obviously a balance to look at it through the lens of human rights as well, to make sure that we're looking at right to privacy, right to fair trial, no discrimination, and to make sure that the cameras are used in a balanced way. So for the guards, they need to balance their need to prevent and investigate crime against the impact on the potential interference with people's civil liberties.
And finally then, are your powers adequate?
We have, well, it's interesting you ask that. We just had an international meeting last week with 26 colleagues across Council of Europe member states, eight of which are dedicated to policing oversight. I would say we are in the top three of the most powerful, I don't like using the word powerful, but power in the sense of
most capable,
proper legal powers to allow you to do your job properly and to do it rigorously so that you can offer the public assurance that as an independent body, the job is being done.
Do you know who one and two are?
I think one is the UK, and I would say number two is Scotland. They're similar to our own, but institutionally, we're as strong as we can be in terms of being appointed by our head of state, the president. It means that you're institutionally also sound, as well as having legal powers to do the investigation.
Okay. Emily Logan, thanks very much for that. Thanks to Police Ombudsman Emily Logan there.
Coming up, yet more changes to the US travel rules. We'll find out what it means for you, plus how to tell if your Christmas gift was a hit or a total miss without saying a word. We'll be getting expert advice on body language.